Cliff. C-L-I-F-F. Cliff.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I will never get tired of that. Cliff Schechter is, of course, a national pundit, kind enough to join us. Unprecedented is the podcast. You can hear that at Patreon. Also, Blue Am Strategies, he's a master of messaging. If you've got a campaign that's looking for some messaging help, Cliff Schechter is the one to help you out with that. And he's coming to us rosy-cheeked from the city of Cincinnati, soon to be in the latest Super Bowl versus the LA Rams. Hi, Cliff. Oh, oh, there you go. Are you excited? Don't do the New Orleans Saints thing. No.
They're who dad. We're who day, man. We were there first. I mean, you know what it's like. You're in a medium-sized Midwestern city, right?
Wait a minute. Like, did you just say, I know what it's like to go to a championship series in Minneapolis, St. Paul? Oh,
I
no.
Meant, right? Yeah, no. Listen, buddy. You gotta let me finish because you've been to one. What, you guys won in 1991? The last time anybody went to a championship series here on the professional level, much less won, was 1990. Yeah. So you're even more recent than us. So my point to you is it's not like an East Coast city that has a gazillion teams, which I'm from, New York, where, you know, there's a different team every couple of years in the championship. Like, it's a huge deal here. So everybody is so excited. And come on, the Bengals were just
They're great. They've been great this year. Oh, they've been fantastic.
They're incredible. But it reminds me of, like, you know, when you have a franchise that's just awful and you expect they will screw everything up every year. Which I think you could go back in time and say that was the New England Patriots, wasn't it? Tom Brady came along.
I could give you the Wild. I could give you the T-Wolves. I could give you the current Twins roster.
Well, point being, like, that's been the Bengals' entire existence in this. And, like, you just expect they could be winning by 30 points and finally to lose with 3 minutes left, which they kind of did with Pittsburgh like 5 or 6 years ago. So my wife told me, never believe, don't fall for it. And, like, then this team comes along and you've got Burrow and McPherson, these guys that are just scared of nothing. And you kind of feel like maybe they're killing that curse because they're so confident. They never feel like they're out of a game. Like, it's incredible. So, actually, it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
I will, for the record here, let me say, we have, of course, won a few WNBA championships. The Minnesota Lynx have actually had some very good teams there. And although it doesn't resonate across the country, the Minnesota Gopher hockey squad, they won the collegiate championship a few times. But no, it's been a while since we've been there. And boy, oh boy, that Vikings team. I want to say this for the record. I want you to win. I really do. I think that of the two teams, I'm going to be rooting for the Bengals. Not necessarily because I don't like the LA Rams. I kind of like the LA Rams. This is actually going to be a mildly enjoyable Super Bowl. Two teams I can enjoy watching being there.
All right. Nobody predicted either of these. You're not getting the same old people again. You're not getting Mr. Anti-Vax there. That was fun seeing him. So, like, it's like something new. It's something different and interesting. These two, you know, not to say the Rams have been there. I'm not saying they haven't, but they haven't been like a great team historically, and the Bengals have been an awful team historically, and no one would have ever bet that these two teams. I wonder what those odds were if you bet these two teams would end up in the Super Bowl. You probably could have bet like a buck at the beginning of the season. You'd be rich now. So, you know.
I know. And well,
you had me here to talk about politics.
Yeah, right? Well, tell you what, I'll have you on. Let's see what your schedule looks like on the Friday before the Super Bowl, okay?
That sounds awesome.
All right.
Come on, and we will chat. We'll chat. I may be writing a piece for the Daily Beast on the symbolism of the Bengals coming back. So we'll see. It'll
outstanding.
Be fun.
Outstanding. All right. So I want to bring up something here. New York Times ran the editorial this weekend, which basically said one Gallup poll says Democrats are doomed. So everyone, don't even go vote. You're all over and all these things. I've watched the media. I mean, I made the point. I said we have the best economy since 1984, more manufacturing jobs in 1 year than Trump got in four. We are the party of health care in the age of the pandemic. They are the party of anti-vaxxers that Trump still won in 2020. And the 1-6 insurrectionists are actually wholesome American people. The reality is we should be mopping the floor with them. And I think that there is one of the reasons I'm having you on today is because there is this clearly a concerted effort to discourage the Democrats and get them to stay home. And the reality is we need to make sure everyone understands what is going to happen on the national level and on local and state levels if the Republicans sweep through and get into office in 2022?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you had a friend of mine, he was a client of mine, and David Pepper, on who wrote a book on using Ohio as an example. This is already happening in many state levels where we literally just we don't have democracy anymore. If you take any poll of what the majority of people feel like in this state, that is about 53, maybe 54% red, 46%, 47% blue. They've got a super majority in the House. It's a joke. Like, there's nothing resembling democracy here. And that will only get worse if people don't turn out, And as you just said, I mean, look, they've said what they're going to do. If they take a House back, they're going to shut down the January 6th committee. I mean, more evidence comes out all the time that Trump likely knew and coordinated all of this. We're getting closer and closer to being able to prove that. They're going to shut that down. They're going to impeach Biden immediately. They said that too. And they'll have the votes to do it because there's at this point, if you think about who the House, who's in the House there and the kinds of nuts that would join them if they have a big year in 22, 147 of them, or was it 137 in the House, voted to decertify our election and essentially overthrow our democracy. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen? What do we all think is going to happen if they elect a lot more people just like those guys and gals?
Well,
so it's going to become this, I'll just say quickly, it's going to become this thing where it doesn't really, I mean, they've already shown they don't care about policy and all of that, but now we're going to get to the point where they don't care to the point of, like, they'll just impeach anybody for being a Democrat.
Well, and that's where we're getting. And I want to point out, as you bring up all that stuff, Trump himself is already working with House members that if they take over the House of Representatives, they're not only going to shut down the 1-6 Commission as investigating the people that were actually behind 1-6, but they're going to create a kangaroo court there to basically accuse the FBI and Nancy Pelosi themselves and Democrats of being the real people behind the 1-6 and holding them accountable with jail signs. I mean, they've already basically it's turning into a kangaroo court. It's not just whether or not we're going to have accountability for 1-6. It's that they're actually saying, we're knowingly going to arrest and jail people who had nothing to do with it as a way to cover Trump and continue the lie that his legacy was great.
Right, and to continue to lie that he won an election where he got his butt handed to him.
Yeah,
by any measure. And one in which they found enough ways already to try to suppress votes, or it wouldn't have even been as close as it was. They've been perfecting that ever since the Supreme Court versus Shelby versus Alabama, and they got rid of the Voting Rights Act. I mean, you're exactly right about that. And I think, this is where Democrats are at fault. I've said this is that we, our people, need to stop being nice. They need to stop sort of assuming that good wins out over evil. I don't know how much evidence they need of all this. We need to start aggressively messaging all of this, because in the end, if people aren't going to choose us for straightforward reasons that elections are normally about, then you've got to make it a choice for people. Do you want to still have a democracy? Do you want to have kangaroo courts? Do you want people who have told you they're going to come in and spend their time throwing people in jail, investigating the FBI, attacking, our various agencies and government? Do you want that? And telling people who these people are who are saying these things. It's Mrs. Jewish Lasers herself and Matt Gaetz, the sex trafficker. And I mean, these are the people we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So let's start with, that argument needs to be made. But then the economy. I mean, again, the reason why the Democrats need to be more aggressive is we've got a right-wing media that literally is fascist and lies like it breathes. And we've got a mainstream media, which you're putting out, that New York Times thing, they just can't seem to help themselves. Yeah. They just can't seem to realize what their role is in a democracy, what their purpose is at all. I mean, this has been getting worse for years. It's been happening where the reason Republicans lie so much, the reason they cheat so much, the reason they do all this is because they know there aren't consequences a lot of the time, if ever. Because they know, that the mainstream media will just do a he said, she said. Oh, well, they are against getting vaccinated. You're for it. That's equal. As if people who are against getting vaccinated aren't all dying at, whatever the rate is. Was it 5 times, 10 times? I mean, these aren't opinions. Opinions are, I think taxes should be higher or lower. Whether sickness kills you is not an opinion. It's science. And, they won't do their job there. They won't do their job on the coup. They won't, so we have to just get together and force them to.
Well, and it's – but go ahead.
No, I'm just saying by forcing content out there that tells the truth, by creating controversy, because that seems to be the only damn thing they'll cover, by doing all these things that we need to do. We don't want to become the Republicans, but we have to fight as hard and fight as dirty, quite frankly, for the truth as they do for lies and fascism.
By the way, when we bring up media, how about the Huffington Post, which can't help but put out, you know, Democratic doom scrolls on, I mean, this supposedly the left-leaning media who basically is like, Democrats should just quit now. I mean, that's kind of like half the damn stories on Huffington Post. And it's like, I get that that's what gets them clicks, but that's not, you know, disguising the truth as conflict is not getting us anywhere. I think one of the other things that's incredibly important to do is you and I can talk about Trump and 1-6 and investigations. Let's just talk about what the agenda would be, the real agenda the Republicans are desperately trying to keep hidden from before the election, because they don't want people knowing what they're going to do. That, you know, choice will be gone. That there won't
limited
be choice.
Eliminate the minimum wage.
Get rid of public schools. Let's talk about that. How they basically can't stand the idea of public schools. That's taxpayer dollars. They want to get in the hands of a few handful of charter school executives. They, you know, we can talk about voting rights. I mean, they're going to. I mean, my God, if the Republicans win in 2022. You are going to see purges of voting rolls to where it's almost going to be impossible for Democrats to win in certain states anymore, if not actually by design impossible for them to win. And so, I mean, it's a full agenda that we know is coming, but God, we just can't have the same mentality as we had in 2016.
Or any other time.
Yes.
And again, like, you know, like I get it that we've said in the past, oh, this is the most important election of your lifetime. It turns out some of those actually were in our lifetime so far, because look what it got us. But at this point, I mean, we need to talk to people very clearly about what is going to happen to you. You know, you who got checks mailed to you, like many of us did, stimulus checks and whatever. Yeah, now they're going to be taking that money, as you said. Now they'll be coming to collect that from you.
Oh yeah.
Now what they're going to be doing is they're going to be persecuting you because of who you are. Now they're going to be finding ways to throw you in prison because of who you are. Now they're going to be opening up the spigot of wealth in our elections. It may dwarf what it looks like right now to that point. You know, where they're spending, where God knows how much Koch brothers types are dumping in because they find a way to pass even more loopholes. I mean. Yeah, this is all stuff that they've talked about openly.
Mm-hmm.
Not hiding it, even as you said. I mean, there are a bunch of them that don't believe the minimum wage is constitutional. They don't believe Social Security is constitutional. They hide that one and try to get elderly voters to stick with them until the very end. They don't believe Medicare. So they don't think the government should be allowed to get involved in anything, except for war, of course, and buying stuff from whatever companies they have stock in or own.
But actually, let me make sure. I actually, one thing I will disagree with you on there, just really quick, is actually they'll use that Supreme Court to force their way on others, just like the Supreme Court back in the 1850s did with the Dred Scott case, where they basically said, well, even though you guys are a non-slavery state, you have to respect slavery when someone from a slavery state comes into your state. Well, that basically made slavery legal everywhere. That's what they'll do, is they'll come on back, and in the argument that they're going to argue about getting rid of Roe v. Wade is that states have the rights to do this, but then immediately rule that the federal government can overrule the states and make, you know, abortion illegal and choice illegal across the country. That's what they mean. I mean, they are going to abuse the Supreme Court to pass federal laws that basically push their policies even further.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're disagreeing with me there.
Not at all.
The things they're going to get rid of are the things that are about humanity and equality and these other principles that exist in our Constitution. Those are the things they're going to get rid of. No, they're going to, I mean, you can already see, it's not good, like it's going to be a libertarian effort. Like, we're just let everything go. No, if you're a company that has liberal values, they've proven they've already come out against these companies, right? They'll persecute you. Right? If you're a nonprofit that has liberal values, they'll persecute you. As you said, they're not going to just say, oh, Roe versus Wade is gone, we'll leave it up to the states. They'll go after California, New York, and other states that will keep abortion rights legal. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They'll go after states that don't want to have guns everywhere. They'll force them on you. They don't believe in anything they say they believe in. They don't believe in federalism. They don't believe in family values. They believe in nothing. They believe in power.
They're paid to push an agenda.
They're just a party about raw power and greed at this point. They've been taken over by all the evils of the very evils that took over conservative parties and turned them into, you know, nationalistic parties in the past in other countries. They're about nothing.
I like
now, except for whatever it is they want to do.
I like how you said it. This, like this, we have to, every election is the most important election of your life, because if you do like 2010 or do like 2016 and sit back and say, well, I voted last time, I'm not going to do it. Or you believe the narrative that's pushed on you that it's better for Democrats not to vote than to vote, then basically you're going to get screwed, because right now the Republicans are on the cusp. They're on the lip of being able to do all the stuff they've always wanted to do. And if this election goes their way, there is no coming back. I just cannot foresee. As a matter of fact, I would be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an effort to basically remove Biden from office and put Trump in there.
Oh, I wouldn't at all. I mean, I would say that we will not, you know, we had the beginnings of an equal society during Reconstruction, and they ripped it up by its roots and removed it. Black elected officials in the 1870s and 80s, and when they came back with a hammer after we left the South to undo all of that, we didn't see anything close to that kind of progress for another 80 years. You and I, during our lifetimes, will not see anything close to even where we are right now. I mean, this is not hyperbole. This is like looking at history, because what they're going to do is they're going to so consolidate power, which they've already done to a large degree, gerrymandering and stacking the courts, stealing picks and all that sort of stuff. And money and politics and right-wing media propaganda and all that, they're just going to push all of that further, not much further. And as you said, they're going to continually purge the voting rolls. There'll be no way. We'll be one of these places that has elections, but it doesn't matter. And, yeah, you'll elect some Democrats, but you'll never get a majority. I mean, that's what you're looking at. Well, and you'll lose everything that you care about. So you can be pissed at Joe Biden because you think, oh, I don't think he handled this well or that well, the way he may have been pissed at Obama in 2014 or Bill Clinton in 1994 or whatever. But every one of those times that you stay home and you don't come out, our country just gets a little bit worse, quite frankly, and they take a little more control.
I think, you know, as we wrap up here, one thing I think we should make sure is it's not, I mean, this is January. We're not going to doom hate here. What we're trying to do is tell you, make sure you're registered and make sure everyone you freaking know is registered and they know where to vote, especially in these red states.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't doom unless you choose to make it doom. Mm-hmm. Like, we're giving people a choice, which is a choice I think Democrats and everybody should give them and make it very clear. There are more of us than that. There's a reason they only have won one electoral college and barely at that since 1988, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason they're gerrymandering all these places, because they're scared of real elections because they know they'll lose. Because even in states that lean a little bit to the right, like Ohio or Missouri or whatever, if there's an honest accounting of what they truly believe, they'll lose in most places. They know that. So that's why they're doing this. And so if people turn out, there will be no doom. We'll do what happened in 1998 when they tried to kick Bill Clinton out of office for, yes, terrible behavior, but no, not something that was impeachable. And they tried to do it because they, in the same way as right now, because they lost at the ballot box, so they wanted to get rid of him by different means. The Democrats got together, struck back, and what did we do in 1998 in that midterm? We gained seats.
Yeah.
That's what this needs to be. This needs to be that same response, because, again, if they take over the House, again, we may not see anything close to democracy in our lifetimes. It really may not.
It will be gone. So get registered. Make sure you're voting. A week from Friday, you're coming back here, so we can be all Bengals all the show. Okay.
We can take that one time to at least be a little bit happy. At least talk about something a little bit nicer.
I'm going to get J. Elvis Weinstein. You know, if the guy who used to be with MST3K, he's out in L.A. Yeah. He's out in L.A. I bet you he's a Rams fan. I'm going to get both of you on that show on a week from Friday. Okay.
Don't make me have to do to him what I'm going to have to do to him. I'm just telling you right now. Why don't you get Corbett on there, too?
Oh, well, he's
listening. He may be even listening. Hi, Bill, if you are. Me and Bill have been talking lately. Get Bill out here. Maybe he'll come down on my side.
I don't know.
As a Midwesterner.
Is Riff Trax's own Bill Corbett an L.A. Rams fan? If he is, I'll bring him on. We'll have detente. Oh. We'll have detente on my show on the Friday before Super Bowl.
There you go. All right. Oh, man.
Unprecedented is the podcast. You can find it at Patreon. Also, Blue Amp Strategies. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Cliff, a pleasure. I'll talk to you in about 2 weeks, my friend.
All right. Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.
Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break. Come on back. Wrap up hour one when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.